We've been hearing a certain theme to start this week. The number of new cases of COVID-19 is rising dramatically, up by nearly a third in recent weeks, according to the New York Times. Public health experts are warning of a new surge. And Derek Thompson has some thoughts on how we can stop it. In fact, his headline is, "The COVID-19 Fall Surge is Here. We Can Stop It." Derek Thompson is staff writer at The Atlantic. He joins us from Washington, as he does every Monday. Hi, Derek.
Hey, how's it going?
Well, according to you, hopefully, you know, that's something we need to hear. We can stop it. And people listening, it's maybe as simple as opening a door and a window on opposite sides of a classroom. We're going to get to that. But Derek, before that, you know, these numbers are grim. Where do you get this notion that this surge can be stopped?
Well, two large buckets, I would say. The first is on the therapeutic side. We're just doing a lot better in terms of treating this disease when people show up at the hospital. Mortality rates contingent on hospitalization have declined by a lot in Europe, in the U.S. This is still a dangerous disease, but it is not nearly as fatal as it was in March or April, when you had all these scientists and doctors who didn't understand what was a novel, and still is a novel, coronavirus. That's number one. Number two is, even on the non-medical side, we're learning a lot about, you know, how to act, understanding that there's mm-hmm. a pandemic. The mm-hmm. evidence around the efficacy of masks has really increased. The evidence around the danger of crowded indoors has become impossible to ignore. And so not only are people working in big pharma smarter about this, doctors are smarter about this, but so are we. And so if we simply look at the evidence from around the world, I think that we have a chance to stop a clear fall surge from becoming a winter catastrophe.
So you say Americans need to embrace empiricism. This is science, people. You know what's, you know, what is laid out right in front of us, but also imperfection, because right now there's no silver bullet, but there might be a whole bunch of bronze bullets, as you put it. And to do that, to understand that better, let's look at South Korea, for instance, which has managed to avoid large-scale lockdowns and stay-at-home orders, and gone with more masks, more tracing.
Yeah, I think people looking at the South Korean example, which has really been an extraordinary success story in terms of their response to COVID, sometimes assume that South Korea must have locked everything down like China did and like some countries in Europe did. They did not. People who I talked to in Seoul in April said they were never on lockdown. Instead, the country focused on places like bars and nightclubs where crowding was essentially inevitable. Instead, they focused on universal mask wearing, and they also focused on making sure that places that might inevitably, lead to indoor crowding would essentially be shut down and maybe even bailed out. They also had really impressive test and trace protocols to essentially backtrace large super spreading events to figure out exactly how they happened and get everybody to isolate as fast as possible. They simply had a much more organized, much more empirical, top-down governmental strategy to take this on than the U.S., where it's been a little bit more federalized, a little more ad hoc, and certainly a lot more scattershot at the federal level.
Well, and they paid attention to the science. There's a new research that estimates that when an infected person and a non-infected person both wear masks, it can reduce the chance of transmission to the non-infected person by up to 80%. So in other words, they can get that non-infected person wearing a mask won't be as sick, you know, because they won't get infected as much if they do get infected. And so they're paying attention to mm-hmm. that. Let's move over to Vietnam, where you write, you know, Vietnam posted a fine for people who posted fake or distorted information on social media. They had a song that everybody could sing, Jealous Coronavirus. What else did they do?
Well, what I think is so interesting about Vietnam, this is a country that is right next door to China and has so far, in a nation of 95 million people, announced an official COVID-19 death count of 35. 35. Mm. That's roughly the number of Americans dying of this disease every hour and a half. So even if let's say you don't believe the 35 number because you think they're futzing with their numbers, well, they've returned to normal life throughout many parts of Vietnam much faster than we've returned to so-called normal life in America. And that's in large part because the government has been extremely, exquisitely clear with citizens about the threat of this outbreak. Since January, you have had a very clear message from the government saying wear masks, social socially distance, wash your hands. They have texted people's phones. They have created these viral videos and viral songs, like the one that you mentioned on the jealous coronavirus. There's just been a very clear and organized message again from the top that says this is the disease that we're facing, and here are some bronze bullets, empirical but imperfect ways that we can all fight it together.
I just want to mention Japan quickly because they also did masks and tracing, but now they're getting kids back to school with things like plastic dividers that slow down the spread of these droplets and opening doors and windows on the opposite sides. I mean, there are simple things in the few seconds we've had.
Masks, social distance, ventilation. Again, these are not silver bullets. They are bronze bullets. They are empirical, but they're imperfect. But all together, you know, five bronze bullets can be almost the equivalent of one silver bullet.
Derek Thompson, staff writer at The Atlantic, giving us so much hope and practicality. Derek, thank you.
Thank you.
We're going to open all the doors and windows.